O God, our Heavenly Father, open our hearts to your words and give us grace to receive it, to understand it, and to obey it. The glory of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. So here we are again. Here we are at the first Sunday of a new year. A good time to take the opportunity to take stock of our lives, to recall what God has done for us and the way that he has brought us over the past year, and wonder what lies in store for us in the year ahead. We feel like making a fresh start and a new beginning. We may make New Year's resolutions to change the more trivial aspects of our life, like slimming down, eating less, exercising more. These are straightforward, but though sometimes difficult to put into practice. But what about the more difficult issues? Life is not perfect. We're not perfect. We make mistakes. We have regrets. And there are times when it would feel wonderful to leave all this behind and start again with a clean sheet. And one of the great comforts and joys of the Christian faith is this, that we know and love a God who by his very nature is forgiving, who allows us, encourages us to let go of our failures and begin again. Because this is what our God is like, this is how he would have us be as well. At the time we read about in St. Mark's Gospel, it seems a vast number of the Jewish nation were seeking to make a new beginning. People went out to John in the desert. People from Jerusalem, Judea, and the whole region of the Jordan. And on confessing their sins, they were baptized by John in the River Jordan. Jesus was one of those who came up from Nazareth in Galilee, where presumably he'd been working as a carpenter, waiting God's call and timing on his life. He too came to John for baptism. At Jesus' baptism, John publicly announced the arrival of the Messiah. He said, "I baptize with water. After me will come a more powerful than I, who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Baptism was a transforming moment in Jesus' own life, for it was after this that he began his ministry in Galilee. Indeed, Mark starts his gospel with it, recording this moment in Jesus' life. He doesn't record anything before Jesus' baptism. In Mark, there are no genealogies. There are no birth stories. At the moment Jesus came up out of the water, Mark describes the heavens as being torn open. Mark uses this phrase again and again at the end of Jesus' ministry, when Jesus is hanging on the cross and the curtain of the temple is torn apart. At that same moment, as heaven was torn apart, a symbol of the Holy Spirit hovered like a bird over the waters. And this is a picture taken from the book of Genesis at the creation of the world. The dove is seen descending on Jesus, and the voice comes from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." The Father expresses his agreement with what has just taken place, affirming that Jesus is the Father's beloved Son. God is expressing his pleasure at Jesus' willingness to stoop down and identify with us sinful human beings in order to bring us to salvation. As a child, I attended a Church of England village primary school, and at standard four at year 10, at the age of 10, we were taught the catechism to prepare us for confirmation. And for those who don't know, the catechism is a method of teaching the rudiments of the Anglican faith by means of questions and answer learnt by rote. And this was used at least up to the middle of the 20th century. And the catechism starts like this: what is your name? And the answer in the book says N or M. I never understood what M or N meant, and I didn't dare ask the vicar because I know what he would say. It's your Christian name, boy. So here we go. The second question comes like this. It says, who gave you this name? And the answer is, my godfather and godmother in my baptism, wherein I was made a member of Christ, the child of God, and the inheritor of the kingdom of heaven. At 10 years of age, all this meant nothing to me. But in living my life as a Christian, in all kinds of situations, as someone battling with feelings of inferiority and self-worth, I've had to remind myself constantly of who I am in Christ. I am a member of Christ. I am the child of God. I am an inheritor of the kingdom of heaven. Our baptism marks the beginning of our life in Christ. It marks a new beginning of turning away from evil and turning to Christ, of being washed clean in the waters of baptism. Our Heavenly Father speaks over us in the same way as he did with Jesus at his baptism. This is my child, whom I love, in whom I am well pleased. And we're baptized into a new relationship with him. By our faith in the Lord Jesus, we receive the right to become a child of God, a son or daughter in his family. He has given us the Holy Spirit to enable us to live as his child and to share in the inheritance Jesus has made possible for us through his perfect obedience. Despite our imperfections, we can share in his life and receive every blessing that is in Christ, all because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. God's purpose for us is not that we should not be his children in name only, that we should not only receive his blessing, but we should live as his child in close relationship with him. It's possible to be part of a family and yet not be a close friend with the other family members, even with the head of the family. God does not want this to be the case with any of us or any of his children. It's a wonderful privilege, isn't it, that God should choose us to become part of his family. We're not some distant relative. We're not one among thousands, millions. He wants us to know him as our intimate friend, to live and walk in close relationship with him. A famous film director had a huge legal wrangle with his longtime mentor and guide. The young man simply couldn't handle criticism, and he ended up rejecting the person who'd helped him so much. When it was all over, a close friend summed up the real problem. It was all about an ungenerous father, he explained, and a son looking for affirmation and love. It happens in times, in families. Some children grow up in our world today that have never had a father said to them, either in words or looks or hugs, "You are my dear child and I love you," let alone "I am pleased with you." Sometimes fathers who think this in their heart are often too tongue-tied and embarrassed to tell their children how delighted they are with them. Some go by the completely opposite route of angry voices and rejection. It's a sad fact that today more and more young people, particularly young men, are receiving medical treatment for depression. They need to hear these words: "You are my child, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." Bible scholar Tom Wright, in his book Mark for Everyone, writes these words: "The whole Christian gospel can be summed up in this point, that when the living God looks at us, when he looks at every baptized and believing Christian, he says to us what he said to Jesus on that day at the River Jordan: You are my child, whom I love. I am well in you. I am well pleased." God sees us not as we are in ourselves, but as we are in Jesus Christ. How does this come along about? Well, it will take the whole of Mark's gospel, particularly Jesus' death and resurrection, to explain. But this is what the Christian gospel is all about. Mark tells us that Jesus came out of the water, he saw the heavens open. Did he see an open door miles up in the sky? No. Heaven in the Bible often means God's dimension behind ordinary reality. This is Tom Wright again. It's as though an invisible curtain in front of us is suddenly pulled back, so that instead of seeing, for example, flowers, trees and buildings that are actually there, or in Jesus' case, the river, the desert and the crowds, it's as though we're standing in the presence of a different reality altogether. And sometimes at decisive and climactic moments in our Christian life, for example, when we first felt the call of God on our lives, when we first felt the need for repentance, when we first accepted Jesus as our Saviour into our life, or sometimes when we feel the call to go and do something or work somewhere, at times too when you feel the Holy Spirit move in your life, at these special moments, it's as though a curtain is drawn back and we see and hear what's really going on. But most of our life, we walk by faith, not by sight. At the beginning of his gospel, Mark is introducing us to Jesus, the Messiah, the Saviour. He says, look at this story. Look at this life. Learn to see and hear it in the heavenly vision, the heavenly voice. Learn to hear these words addressed to yourself. Let them change you, mould you, make you somebody new, make you the person God would have you be. When we do this, we will be equipped, as Jesus was, to be sent out into the desert. If we start the journey thinking God is a bully, an angry, threatening parent, ready to yell at us, to slam the door on us, to kick us out because we've not made the grade, we will fail at the first temptation. But if we remember those powerful words of love, "You are my child, whom I love, with you I am well pleased," we will find the way through. Amen.